All right. Hey, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is my birthday celebration, actually. We plan on doing an open mic probably tomorrow, but today I'm off. I didn't go to work. I had some points. I was able to use those, so I got paid for today. And I am just having a good time on my fucking birthday. 38, you know. I didn't know I would actually live to 38, to be honest, because there's a lot of times in my life where I've had some real close calls. Not just when I was young and growing up, but when I was in my 20s, there was some rough times. I got into a lot of situations where I probably could have gotten killed. I did a lot of stupid shit. I decided one time to beat a truck on my bicycle. Basically, the truck was turning, and I was riding my bike through it, you know, like in the same route. So it was gonna be a real isekai truck situation. But I managed to get by the truck in like a hair's, like literally that much. That's the kind of shit I used to do, cause you know I don't drive, so you know I rode a bike everywhere, and usually one-handed, cause I would have a CD player in one hand and the left handlebar in the other. Yeah, I drove with my left hand. Even though I'm not left-handed, that's literally how I did it. So, I remember one time coming home from the nursing home that I worked at, and it was fucking pouring down rain, like flooding hardcore. I didn't have anything but a bike, and I had to go through town on my bike. As it's fucking pouring down, it's pitch black, by the way, it's dark, pouring down rain. I'm blasting metal and I'm going, trying to, you know, hope this bike can do fucking godlike miracles and get me home, even though there's water just coming all the way up to about my damn, it was pretty deep, man. So, I've done a lot of crazy shit that could have killed me. And I'm here. To some people are not happy about that, though. There's a lot of people that kind of wish I wasn't here, because they just don't like me for some reason or another. And I'm not saying people on the internet. There's just a lot of people in general. I ran into my ex yesterday. That surprised me. What surprised me the most is that she looked clean. Like, obviously, she's got a job now. She looked professional. I was very surprised. I mean, it's like a different person. I didn't say anything to her, but I walked right by her because she was in the little drink section, you know, right next to the registers where people go pick up it's got sandwiches on one side, and then it's got like your regular drinks, and then you have your energy drinks and caffeine on the other. So basically, I just walked right by her, and I grabbed my drink, and I didn't even really know it was her at first, and then I was like, oh shit, that's her. So I nodded, and she didn't say anything, and that was all of it. Maybe she didn't recognize me because I've got this beard now, but I doubt it. I'm a really easy to recognize guy. So, I don't know.
It would be kind of weird if you were looking in the mirror one day and didn't know who was on the other side.
Yeah. But I'm a pretty...
Wait, that's not normal?
I don't know. I'm a pretty easy to recognize guy, though. I don't really have that problem. But anyway, yeah. It was good to see her in the right frame of mind. Like, I hope things go better for her. I don't know. Like, she didn't have... I mean, she knew I was there, but she didn't know what to say. It's weird. But also, you have to understand that a lot of the crap she went through in her marriage has her in a different state. And she's probably still dealing with a lot of the issues from that. Because, I mean, that's traumatic. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm glad that she's working again and, you know, getting back out there. You know the guy she married wouldn't let her leave the house, right? Could you imagine 10 years, man? 10 years. not allowed to leave the house. I could never, like, she could never come visit or anything. It was always, we had to go there.
Yep.
And even, you know, when I hung out with her brother was like, ooh, I don't know about this guy. You know, he was always kind of like on edge a little bit. I mean, but it is what it is, you know. Obviously, things are a lot different now over there. And I don't even know. For all I know, they may have a relationship where they stay in contact for the kids. I don't know. I don't know how that's going. I never asked. It was none of my business. But, you know, I'm just hoping that, you know, she's doing better and that the kids are, you know, the grandparents are wonderful people. So I'm pretty sure that the kids are being well taken care of in any state. But yeah, I was always considered like another son to them. It was really, different. But, yeah, it's just kind of weird, I guess. No, I mean, maybe not really. It's kind of more of a traditional sense, you know, because when I was a young man, they wanted me to, you know, marry her. And I felt I was too young for marriage. I was only 19 years old, and I just wasn't ready to settle down with somebody. You know, even though things have been going pretty good as far as the relationship was concerned, and we were still very much friends, you know, it was very early stages of a relationship. I didn't really know her, you know, and there's still a lot of things I still, you know, I don't know about her. But, that's also the same is true for her and me, you know. But that's the thing about relationships, you know, you don't really know somebody until you've been around them for, well, I mean, even then, but for the most part, if you've been around somebody for a number of years, you've got a better idea of who they are than if you've been around them for maybe a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Some people want to go ahead and get into a full-blown relationship, and they've only known each other for maybe just a month or so, and I don't think that's necessarily the best idea. And I'm talking about a hardcore long-term relationship. I'm not talking about dating. I'm talking about let's move in together and all that kind of stuff. And I always found that to be a bit much. It's up to you. But me personally, I don't think you should just jump into marriage with somebody that you barely know. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, man, I get that too, but I know I've been away for a long while, and I've had my own stories.
Right.
Yes, mainly just everything in the rant room, if you guys haven't seen that yet.
I have.
You know, yeah. I'm going to say it's forged into a relationship at this point between the both of us.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean,
someone finally tied Dirty Dan down.
I'm glad to see it. Just, you know, don't forget what you learned here. You know, I don't want, I'll say like TFM, I don't want the worst for people that are going to get married or have a serious relationship. I'm not like that. I don't think, if people are happy, I want them to be happy. I don't want people to be miserable. You have no idea how many couples and that I connect with on a daily basis. How many of my friends are married and have been married for a very long time. And of course, I've got some friends, both male and female, that have been divorced for a long time. So I talk to a variety of different people, and everybody has their own opinions on marriage and things like that. So it's, you know, it is what it is. It's different for different people. If it works for you, it works for you. And that's one of the biggest problems with the man. That was one of the biggest problems with MGTOW, was that, I mean, to be fair, it was anti-marriage, but it was anti-marriage only because of the obvious, the woman has a possible loaded gun against you. That, I mean, yeah, that's understandable. But that doesn't necessarily mean she's going to use it. And some men are like, you know what, I'm just fine with my doll or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's great too. And some men are like, well, I'm happy in Thailand or the Eastern Europe or the Philippines or wherever they're going, Vietnam, stuff like that. Okay, if that works for you, that's fine. Some guys want to go around the world and bang different broads. That's fine, too. I mean, it's your life, and you don't have that much of it. You know, I'm already 38, and it doesn't really feel like much time has passed. So, yeah, 40's coming. I got 2 years to 40, and those 2 years are probably going to pass by pretty quickly, and then I'll be damn 40. And then I'll be 50, you know? It is what it is. You know, I talked to a guy that's 60 years old and said he loves that Legend of Zelda game. He said, I've been playing the hell out of that new Legend of Zelda, and I'm 60. I'm like, well, you know, maybe there's hope for me gaming in my old age just yet. Because, I mean, that's one thing I do want to continue to do when I'm older is continue.
To be fair, it's like most of people's hobbies these days aren't really athletic. As long as you don't go full Biden, you can pretty much do whatever your hobbies are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that too.
Okay.
So,
Skyrim Grandma is famous for a reason.
Oh, yeah, I know. Of course, you know, I don't know if it was from the panic attacks I had in 2021 or what, but I have a really bad short-term memory loss now sometimes, and there's a lot of shit that I just can't remember the name of, even if I had recalled it. If I could, like, I could tell you, it's one of those things where I could tell you what it is and I could point it out in my mind, but I can't tell you what the name of it is. And I get that a lot more now than I used to. That's the only thing I'm kind of worried about. And it's like, oh shit, I'm starting to get where I can't remember a lot of shit. So, I don't know if that's just age or what, but I'm hoping I don't.
No, the brain fog seems to be an everyone problem now. Even the kids are having problems with this shit.
Might be. But I don't remember it ever being an issue for me before. Why did they do that? Why did they
do that? Well, it's been like an issue with everyone as of like the last 3 to 5 years. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's just like 10 IQ points dumber.
That makes sense.
And won't forget.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, okay, now I'm fucking cooking with gas here. Yeah, so this game's pretty good. It feels like a Mega Man where you can punch. Anyway, yeah. So, we finished our first AVN last night. I've been playing that for a while. And, I mean, it was short, so, of course, that was acting lessons. We finished that. And we finished, Do You Like Horny Bunnies? Finished that. So we're finishing a lot of stuff. I'm trying to get done with a lot of crap. I'm trying to finish a lot of games on my own now. I'm really trying to kill my backlog and find out what's crap that I spent, that I wasted money, not spent, wasted money on, and what's actually really freaking good that I just needed to sit down and play. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, because I'm going through these different games and I'm like, that one I wish I didn't spend my money on. And let's see. I played, what was it, Tiny Troopers? It's not bad. It was 25 gigs, though. I'm like, why the fuck is this game 25 gigs? Is it really that big of a damn game? I don't know. Let's see.
I feel like they can't make a game efficient to save their fucking life anymore.
Yeah, the thing is, it felt kind of like a mobile game, but apparently it's not a port of a mobile game. They have a mobile version of the game. This is just like the console version of it, or the, I guess you could say the Steam port. I don't even know if there is a console version of that game. Yes! Oh, I didn't know I could use weapons. I just beat it with punch. Alright, whatever. That was fun. Alright. So, definitely reminded me of Mega Man X3. Okay, so what else here? Well, I guess I was going to talk about this on the show tomorrow, but the actor's strike happened. The only thing I can say is good. Like, I'm not even, like, standing for the actors. Honestly, I'm tired of all the Hollywood crap. Like, all they want to do is remake shit, destroy classic shit, and make woke shit.
You act like these imitations can kill off the original. That's what they wish it would do. I think it's just a psyop to sell you both copies of it, because the wokies will buy, quote-unquote, the new version, but then they sell retro merchandise alongside the new movie.
That's true, but...
And it just drives the retro version sales.
All right, but one thing... Yeah, is... I'm echoing off you a little bit. But one thing I was going to say is that, you know, some of these... All right, I was in the... You know, Walmart has that little bin where they have all the cheap DVDs. And they're doing something new that I've never seen before. They've got, like, these two double feature where they'll have the original and the remake on one disc or two discs. I don't know how they do it sometimes. Sometimes it's both movies on one disc. Sometimes it's just, you know, they're both in the same case. But anyway, they'll have, like, this is the original of this, and this is the remake of it. So you can see how shitty the remake is compared to the original. I don't know, man. I just don't think a lot of these movies... I mean, with some exceptions, Super Mario was really good. But I just don't think there's been really that many great movies anymore. And people will say, oh, well, there's all kinds of original content being made. You're just not looking for it. And I'm like, okay, think about it like this. There's so much shit being released. How much of this is somebody's crappy B-movie? No offense to people that make B-movies, but how much is this somebody's crappy little B-movie, and how much of this is something that's an actual original property that's going to kick ass? You know, that's the problem. Like, when everybody can make a movie, you get a lot more crap than you used to. And, like, I'm not hating on people that make independent stuff. I think it's a problem with music, too. When everybody can make a record, you have a lot more crap that comes out. You have a lot more to sift through. You have a lot more unbearable fucking music. You have a lot more unbearable movies. Like, I can't watch five more minutes of that. Like, you can barely get through 5 seconds of some of these movies. And I'm talking about some of the B ones that are coming out. Oh, and you know what they do? They always find some really fucking cool artwork. Like, they'll make the fucking most badass artwork, and they'll put it on the DVD, because they don't really put them on Blu-rays, notice. But they'll put it on the DVD cover and make you think it's this really fucking cool movie. And then when you play it, you're like, this looks nothing like the artwork on the fucking box. This is stupid as hell. And that's like what a lot of horror movies used to do back in the 90s with the VHS. They'd have a really cool box image art. And then you go to play it and you're like, this is a pile of shit.
So do you think we're starting to hit the, kind of like the... what's the word I'm trying to find? You think we're starting to hit the beginning of the, kind of like the self-produced genre of things?
Oh, we're past...
We're starting to hit its, like, ugly stride, where everything kind of looks campy and the same, but somehow they think it's different and unique.
Yeah, we're getting that. Well...
we're already there.
We're there.
It's a funny story. So there was a hipster who did a fashion magazine, sued the fashion magazine company because he claimed that they copyright infringed his photos. Turns out it was another hipster who, even the man couldn't tell that it wasn't himself in the picture. They so similar in terms of they literally have the same cuck uniform doing the same cuck picture. and they just have such little personality and substance that one NPC cannot differentiate the other. And this is more personal photography. It's not even like a drawing or something.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's getting that way. But look at the, you know, the games that came out for the summer. Well, the indie show. All the fucking games that are looking the same. You know? I mean, look, I understand you're going to get inspiration. I mean, what I'm playing right now is heavily inspired by Mega Man and Metroid, a bunch of other games. However, there's a lot of games out there that are starting to look the same. It's like, okay, we've made a city builder, and it's cute, and we've made a cute city builder, and we've made a cute city builder, and we've made a cute... It's like, okay, how many of these do we need? At some point, there's like, whoa there! We don't need any more cute city builders. If you're going to make... But I want to make one. Well, then you'll have to beat these guys who've already made... You know, but some devs are like, but my idea is different because my cute city builder does this. And well, your cute city builder better do this better than anybody else. And that's what we're having a problem with. Because all these people, like, there's some legitimate awesome ideas. But, I mean, at the same time, you have to go through hundreds of thousands. People on Steam are already sick and tired of all the fucking games that are just... popping up from the indie market, and the adult market has gone out of control. It really has. There's more adult games now. The AVN market has gotten out of control. Oh my god.
Oh my god. It's out of control. It's out of control, and it's all the same shit. It's like, they don't even explore unique ideas unless it's like incest or something.
That's not even unique. That's not even unique anymore, man. I'm telling you.
Like, if it isn't incest or fudas, like, nobody seems to be coming up with ideas for shit. Or have a passion for it. It just weirds me out.
Well, alright.
Yeah, I think we're starting to hit an area where everything's starting to stagnate.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of this has hit, like, in... Like, just looking at back at previous generations of anything, where if they start to stagnate, someone always made something new. But I think we've made too... I don't know if there's going to be anything new that can be made.
We're just...
Right.
Well, this is what happens when you get everything to sell, right? You have to be able to sell something.
Right.
Either that, or you're making a generic copy and paste so that way you can add it to your resume to be able to be hired at another place just to make a copy of something else.
See, that's the problem, is you're trying to work for these fucking companies, which is stupid, because all it does is poison and borgifies the actual creatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it seems to go so far. It's just kind of another industry taken up by people who just want to climb the corporate ladder, which is unfortunate for the rest of us, but for them it's fine.
Yeah, like these corpos, like Velma's whole story, they wanted to do an original show, but they wouldn't. But they're like, well, you can use Scooby-Doo, and they're like...
Mm-hmm. We lost him.
Gone.
It happens sometimes with his internet. But I get what he's saying. Okay, so... But I was saying, the AVN market, it's exploded. Okay, I understand these people are making a lot of money on Patreon. A lot. But I can't keep up with them. If anybody that's been paying attention to my channel, all those teasers, that's nothing. That's literally nothing compared to the amount of crap. And then you go on F95, and the reason why I go there is to just see what the fuck is out. Because there's constant AVNs being released. And a lot of this shit, you know, of course, it's in development. It's not finished. So, I mean, yeah, some people are doing really good ones. But the problem is, there's too many. Like, it's impossible to keep track of them all. You know, I'm like, so you got to find one that's got a real good story and a writer that can actually write. And obviously, though, you know what, though? I have an argument there. The good games usually do well. And what I mean by that is if people really like something, then enough of them seek it out. And people recommend it. Like, basically, you'll look online on Reddit and stuff like that, and people will say, go play this, go play this, go play this, go play this. And they'll go play that, and then they'll tell other people, and other people will tell others, and then they'll start to see that it's hitting really big on Steam, and all of a sudden, the shit that's good starts to explode because it's actually good. So all the other crap starts to go towards the bottom because people are playing what's actually fucking good. So that is one plus. If enough people like something and it rises to the top, then it's actually by merit, you know, it's won its place there. So if we talk about a game like Lust Academy, which is doing real well on Steam, that's because everybody's fucking playing. It's actually fun. It's got all these mini games. I was doing a fishing mini game in it. I did a duel mini game. I did a fishing mini game. I did a restaurant mini game. And you have your storylines and walking around and talking with people and all that kind of stuff like you do in a regular visual novel. That's really cool that they're adding all this stuff into these games. I mean, I'm glad to see that stuff. And that's what the West is doing best, because we're not Japan. We can't do, or try, they're trying, but they can't do the Japanese visual novel shit. We're not Japan. We're trying to be Japan. That damn Superman cartoon they did is just, I mean, it's damn near copy-paste anime, but it's not anime. It was done in the West. So...
would someone let them, well, I mean, would someone let them tell Sony that? Because I know, as far as I know, they've kind of taken themselves out of Japan and tried to be Western.
Yeah, because that Superman cartoon, Adventures with Superman, or Life Adventures with Superman, the one that everybody's freaking out about Lois Lane, that was done here in the West. So, oh, they have a threat level. Okay, I'm gonna fight this guy. Alright, anyway, that's what I mean. Japan knows that they've got their fucking claws on the Western market now, and the Western market knows that their shit is starting to suck because everybody's going to Japan. So now the Western market is basically trying to become Japan, and that's already been tried before with the Western VN or the EVN market. EVN is different from AVN because, or ELVN, it's, no, let's see, OELVN, Original English Language Visual Novel. Basically, they're Japanese-looking games made in the West, and everything that they do is a stereotype of Japan. And you know what's funny? They flopped so hard on these, even though Japan is able to make their Western stereotype games fucking awesome. By that, I mean shit like Devil May Cry, Resident Evil. Like, all that shit is made from Western...
It's simple. Like, we exported our good culture that they absorbed, but we don't ever actually absorb the culture. We absorb the show with its fucking tropes.
Yeah.
So when they're absorbing our tropes, they're getting, like, all the good Hollywood, all the good 80s rock music, and all the other cultural stuff we exported in the before times. That they then turned into JoJo's and shit. Meanwhile, we're like...
wow! It crashed!
Doing the retarded shit.
It crashed! Lua/core/animation loader. Attempt to compare Neil with number. I just got this game, and it crashed! This is live, folks. The state... also, you know, since we're having this conversation, let's talk about the state of modern gaming.
Again, RPG Maker game should not be multiple gigs.
No, this is not an RPG Maker. This is a...
I'm just saying, like, that's just the low end of the bad bloat.
I'm gonna see if a patch was put onto GOG, because it may have been. I'm gonna see. If not, then guess what? I'm going to have to play something else. Because you know what I was doing? I wasn't doing anything to break the game. I was literally on the teleporter to the next area in the game. Oh, sure, they've updated the game. They've updated the game they gave away for free, The Whisperer, but no update for Gravity Circuit yet. So guess what? I have to wait for an update to Gravity Circuit. Wow. That's just fucking great. You know? I mean, he meant well. The game looked awesome. It was fun. I was going around in the... You know, like Mega Man Zero has a headquarters? This one has a headquarters also. So you walk around the headquarters and you talk to people. And then you go get your mission. And you go and you pick your guy. And I was on the teleport. And boom, it crashed.
Oh, man. That's also a thing I hate about games nowadays. Every indie developer thinks that they need to have a day one patch of their games to be successful. Mm-hmm. They don't. Please, dear God, stop it. I think the last game that I played that didn't have a day one patch was literally Kingdom Hearts 3. Mm-hmm. The only game that didn't have a day one patch. The only type of patching it ever had was the DLC that came out a year later.
Damn. Guess I'm just going to play Hawk. Yeah, but damn it. That game was actually fun. Like, no, it was legit fun. I was enjoying it. I felt like it did the... But I didn't even get to go into a boss stage. You know how Mega Man is set up. You have your main stage, and then you have your different boss stages. I didn't even get to go into one of those. It crashed as soon as I was going to the stage. So I was like, damn. So I'm back to playing this Korean Metroidvania, which isn't bad. It's fun, I guess. But yeah, state of modern gaming. Shit's broke. I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, I remember a day when a game would come out, and that was it. Like, there were no fucking bug patches. That the game had to work. And you know what's funny? We're not talking about a great big game. We're not talking about a big AAA monster. The game I'm talking about was only about 400 megabytes. It's not even a gig. It's quite small. It shouldn't fuck up like it did. I mean, I could understand if you've got this monolith of a game and it's like 25 to 30 to 40 to 50, 60, 70, you know, a lot of gigs. But this is not even a gig, and you guys, I don't know. I didn't get it. See, I don't even know where I'm at. It sucks. It absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
Now, there was a site I was using that shut down today. I was getting my anime on codes from there. It's dead. After many years, it finally died. Well, I mean, they had a subpoena against them. I figured they would want to shut down. Yeah, the anime companies are starting to hit hard now. You know why, right? Sony. I think it was Sony. Because they bought Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Which bought Funimation years ago, I believe.
Yeah. And now Sony's going to start attacking these other sites. Of course, there's another site I can use for now. But I don't know for how long. It depends on where they're based. If they're based... I'm guessing the site I was using was based in the West. Like, somewhere very close, which would be a very stupid thing to do. But, yeah.
If you have one of the based in the EU or Russia, then you have a pretty good chance of that surviving for the longest time.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't want to support the localization for these game. Excuse me, not the games, but for these anime.
Yes.
And the reason why I don't want to support it is because they butcher everything now. They butcher it. They add they've added their Western politics into it, their modern politics, which doesn't need to be in it. There's a lot of lines that get changed, and I prefer just the Japanese subtitled by the fans, because the fans are going to translate it proper. So you don't even have problems where if you buy Blu-ray and the subtitles are wrong, you know, because... Oh.
Okay, he wanted it.
Oh, okay, that was him. But like I said, the subtitles are wrong when you buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah. If anything is driven the impetus for me to learn Japanese, this is a...
Right. But I will say one thing. We still have a really strong fan translation scene.
That hasn't died ever since like the early 2000s.
No, it's going to continue.
It's been going strong for like 20 years plus.
It's growing stronger because, A, we're not getting some anime. Like, not everything is getting localized. I mean, and I literally mean brought to the West. They're not, and I'm not even talking about the dub. Some stuff's just not even coming to sites like Crunchyroll and High Dive and all these other places. They're not... So if you want to watch them, you've got to watch them on the internet somehow. That's why people are still torrenting. Nia is still a thing. People are still talking about Nia. It's not going to go away because people are tired of it. They know that the kids love anime. I mean, that's literally what all the kids are into. We can't keep manga on the shelf in our Walmart. Local Walmart, dude, the manga gone. You know how the book section looks in a Walmart. You have your bestsellers and stuff like that. Manga section, completely gone. It's damn near all wiped out. So...
Yeah, the only manga I've really seen has just been all the popular stuff from like the last, what, 4 or 5 years?
I don't know, they had Oshinokoa in there. So I was like, I was surprised to see that. I was like, Oshinokoa, hey, that's one of the anime that I was looking at. So that was there. No, they've got some more obscure ones, at least where I was. I mean, you will have your Demon Slayer and your Dragon Ball, things like that, but there's always a couple of things like, what the hell is this? I've never even heard of this before. So there's a few.
Yeah. I think one of the favorite ones that I found was the, I can't remember the name of it, but I know it was about the dad who saved his daughter from an abusive relationship.
Wow.
That recently got turned, you know, right? What generally happened was apparently her abusive ex was in the mafia. So it really is a story about how far will you go for your daughter?
Hmm.
Or your kids, really. It's a really good series.
Okay.
I love it.
You know the name?
Oh, let me look it up real fast. I'll tell you once I find it.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, there's a lot of more bizarre and, I mean, not, I won't say bizarre, but I mean, just not the stuff you'd expect. It's not just a bunch of shonen stuff like you say, oh yeah. I mean, that's there. But I looked up a little higher and I'm like, oh, what the hell are these? I've never even heard of this. And when I haven't heard of it, then yeah, there's... But as I was browsing this one site that I used to support long ago, I noticed that there were a lot of anime I hadn't seen or even heard of before. And I also noticed something else, and this is just me. Feel free to have a different opinion. But I noticed one big thing about the modern anime. Most of it looks a lot alike. And I mean the isekais. There's so many isekai that look like the spitting images of other isekai. Like, the art looks the same, the armor design almost looks the same, the characters look the same. I'm not saying the stories are the same, but everything else looks very similar to each other. I mean, that's not an extreme problem, because the story might be good, but it's really hard to find anime that doesn't look the same as other anime. So every time I find something that just even has a different art style, I'm more inclined to check it out because it's not the same thing. And if it's not the isekai, it's the cuteness overload or the moe stuff, where it's just like, okay, there's a bunch of anime waifus, and here's a bunch more anime waifus, and here's a bunch more. I've got no problem with that, but it's almost like, damn, is that all there is? And there's like a million Yuri shows on there that I was looking at. I was like, God, I didn't know Yuri was so popular. But it seems to be very fucking popular. Because there's all these shows where it's basically girls hanging out with other girls and, you know, doing that sort of thing. So, I don't know. But for me, I'm like, where's the gritty anime? Where's, you know, I found like No Guns Life and a few things like that. But where is stuff that's actually, you know, like I remember? You know, like Drexel was talking about. Where's the Golgo 13s and shit like that? Because I watched that Golgo 13. And that fucking anime, or that OVA movie was great. It was fantastic. And we're probably never going to see shit like that again. But I miss that hardcore kind of gritty anime. I do know that they remade Trigun. Kind of curious how that would be.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. It's the same animation rigging that Rooster Teeth uses, so it's all 3D.
Oof.
But it's pretty good. I'd say it's okay, mainly because it isn't a Rooster Teeth original.
Right.
Rooster Teeth animated it, but they didn't do any script changes to it.
Well, I know they tried to make two sequels, which I still haven't watched yet. But they made two sequels to Fooly Cooly back a couple of years ago. And I really, really loved Fooly Cooly. But I'm like, I don't know if I can... Because I've even heard that they're not so good. Like, these sequels that they came out with for Fooly Cooly, that kind of suck. So I don't know on that one. But there's... there was another one they came out with. Arutsa, I can't remember her name. It's a classic Bishoujo anime. It's got... I can't remember. It's a really, really old character from back in the 80s. And they brought her back. The guy that drew her also drew Devilman. So... it's part of his work, but it's bringing her back. I have her classic stuff, which I haven't seen. But, I got the new one as well, because I'm curious. I'm like, okay, how do you bring this 80s character into 2023? They even tried to keep with the style of the 80s, which is cool. Like, I like when they're trying to attempt that. When they did the Golgo 13 2010 series... They actually tried to keep with the style of the manga, which has very rough faces. You know, there's nothing cute or anything like that about that manga. And the anime kind of keeps to that. So, I don't
know. I found the name of the show I was talking about a while ago.
Okay.
It's called My Home Hero.
I got it. I did get it. I have My Home Hero. That's one of the ones... That's one of the last ones I got before the site shut down.
Yep, that's a good one. That's a from what I've seen and read, that's a very, very good one.
Alright, I'll check.
Like, if I had to put it into a tier list, I'd put it in like an S tier.
Okay. I'm like... Yeah, well, I mean, you're like the anime guy right now. You've done like a bunch of podcasts basically on... Anime, for the most part? A lot of anime discussion?
Yep. A lot of anime discussions, yep. Over the Balcony podcast on YouTube.
I'm glad that
Or you... Off the Balcony. Off the Balcony, there it is.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that going.
And yep. Drex, of course... We're starting to put out some clips.
Yeah.
And I've got, like... Got one clip out today, and I got, like, four more scheduled for the next weekend. And then the weekend after that, so... It's gonna be good.
Now, me, I kind of Like, I still have a channel, and I'm glad that people subscribe to it. But one thing is, I'm like, all right, this is the honest truth. Like, they like my comic work. And when I say they like, I mean the people that make the comics have actually gotten seen it. And it's like, oh, I really like your work on my comic. Like, they like me reading their books. I'm like, that's cool. However, you don't understand what kind of goes into that. Like, I had attempted to do Spawn volume, was it 8 or 9? I can't remember which volume, but I was really tired. And I was like, this is 188 pages, which literally means I have to sit here with just water. You know, I can't take a bathroom break. And I have to read 188 pages, and not just read, but I have to do all the character voices and everything like that, because that's just part of, you know, that's part of the fun. I liked acting it out. But the problem is, it takes a lot of work. You know, I'm like drained after doing that shit. When I did that Lady Death one, like, I was totally fucking drained, because you have to just go into everything. I try to make it like a guy is basically there narrating the entire show. It's like an audio drama, but it's all me. That's pretty much what I'm trying to do with that. And people like it, but I'm like, how can I do it? Because I'm being worked like a slave for the most part, because I've got this new boss that constantly just, you know, it makes you want to do, okay, I'll put this into perspective since I'm all over the place today. She makes you do one job, and then another job, and then another job, and sometimes even though you're supposed to leave at 11, she'll try to push you till 12 or whatever. Doesn't give a damn. Hey, what's up? It doesn't give a damn, just work the hell out of you. And I'm like, I only make 14 bucks an hour. I really don't, you know, I'm not trying to live my life here. I mean, seriously, I only make 14 bucks an hour, which is actually higher than minimum wage here. The minimum wage is 11. So,
my minimum wage is 13. It's set to go up to 14 next year, and then 15 the year after that.
No, I'm supposed to get 15 next year.
Get the trash fire.
So I'll get...
What's up, Tech?
How's the trash fire going?
The trash... I don't know about that. I wouldn't say it's necessarily trash fire. This is supposed to be just, you know, it's...
No. I'm talking about his, little, fling.
Oh, that?
Yeah, you can talk about that if you want. I don't care. If you want the world to know. You have...
Sure, why not? They don't watch this type of shit anyway.
I forgot we were recording.
Yeah, we are, but yeah, it's not fine. A big deal.
I was going to try to ease into it after we had our little anime talk, but I guess we can just do it now.
That's fine.
As of right now, your boy Dirty Dan is in a relationship. Where, how do I put this? Are they asleep right now? Yeah. Well, if she heard this, she'd be fine. I essentially stole her from her boyfriend, but he doesn't want to let go, so we're kind of just awkwardly living together at this point.
Oof.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. He didn't want to let her go. It seems to be a lot of... You know what? That's a problem with men these days.
Here's the weird thing. Here's the weird thing about the dynamic of the relationship, right? He is 6 years older than her. She went into the relationship out of convenience, and then her life just shattered apart. I'm only 3 years older, and I'm already on a more... comfortable level with her than he ever would be or ever will be.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You're still a pretty young dude. I mean, all things considered, it's... I mean, I want guys to date and get in relationships, all that, when they're young. That's a good thing. I think people should be doing that.
Yeah, yeah, 26 isn't exactly the youngest, but it's fine.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You're not 38.
I'm the one who's 22.
Yeah, I think I've got, what, 10 years on you? Yeah, a little more than that. What, 12?
Like 30. You say you're 38, right?
Yeah, I'm 38.
I'm 26, so you definitely got about
12 years.
10. You got 12 years on me, yeah?
Yep, 12 years. And,
That sounds right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, it's fine. And, you know, a lot changes in 12 years. A lot changes in 12 years.
Yeah.
So, that's one thing I can definitely tell you guys, because, I mean, this is my birthday stream, and I'm just letting you guys know that, yeah, a lot changes. When I was your age, I'll tell you what I was doing. First thing I was trying to do was get a band established, because I was real big about trying to, you know, pursue metal and being a rock star. Like, that was my thing. I definitely wanted to be a rock star and do metal. Now, I didn't know how things were going to shift, but for that time, metal had a bit of popularity. It's not as popular as it was, you know, not as popular today, but it was, I mean, we had the deathcore era and a lot of other shit. I know people make deathcore out to be a joke, but back in the day, it was actually a pretty serious deal. And I wasn't big into that. I was listening to a lot of, like, black metal and stuff like that. And basically, yeah, I wanted to combine this with more modern metal. I said, well, I'm more of a black metal vocalist, but let's do something different. Let's take these vocals and make this more of a modern kind of sound, which was really different, and still nobody's really doing that. So that's what we did. And we had like 6 songs. We were ready for an EP. You know, everything was going pretty good. We would do the set about 3 times. And the set was about 15 to 20 minutes. It wasn't that long, and that's pretty much all you get at most venues. You don't, like, unless you're a headliner band, you only play for about 15 minutes. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't realize, hey, we're on. Like, you've got 3 fucking songs. If you have long songs, you might get 1 or 2 songs. That's why a lot of bands weren't trying to be like Opeth and do these 10 fucking minute songs. Thank God they became as popular as they did, because now they had a place to showcase all these extremely long 15 and 20 minute, you know, these really, really long songs. But anyway, that's what I wanted to do. And at the same time, well, when my band broke up, that's when I decided I wanted to start writing books. Now, for the time, everything I was writing was actually pretty progressive. And I don't mean, like, the woke sense, because there wasn't a such word back then. I was just reading a lot of progressive comics and stuff, and I was like, well, you know, I liked Stephen King, and I liked a lot of other things, and I was like, oh, yeah, I can write this story. But my character was an asshole. Like, he was a hardcore misogynist. Like, dude, I wanted him to be that way. That's literally how I had that character set up. And it was literally supposed to be, like, a misogynist and a feminist. Like, as a couple. And how they fucking have to learn to get along and get together and all this shit. And they had feelings for each other as people, even though they disagreed on a lot of shit. And I was basically trying to show people that, hey, you can fucking disagree on a lot of things, but still have feelings for each other. And people have done that since people were around, since there were people. There's always been people that say, well, I disagree with this, but, you know, it doesn't matter because I care about you as a person. So I don't give a fuck, really. Just don't talk about it around me. And that usually worked out for people. But because of the internet now, everybody's up everybody else's ass. So there's no way for me to bring that story into the modern era because it's so retro. I don't even think I used cell phones. They were in the future, and there wasn't even, like, the technology that I had made in that story when they went into the future, or the destroyed future, I guess you could say, where the robot mistress woman took over. Basically, I didn't even know about that technology. That kind of tech didn't even exist back then. So I couldn't really put it in my story. But I wrote, you know, several of those books. It was originally three, but there were so big of books that I had to squash them into six with a fucking encyclopedia. Or not encyclopedia. Yeah, encyclopedia of all the terms. So after I wrote that shit, and it didn't do very well, a lot of people were confused. They liked the first book. I got a lot of people that liked that first book when they were teenagers. But when I decided to make them adults, that's when a lot of people kind of tuned out. Because there was a lot of what you would call slice of life drama in those books. And a lot of people weren't familiar with slice of life that much. And that's not what they wanted. They wanted the action. So I had to cut several fucking chapters just to get to the action. And I never could get a decent editor for the books, you know? That was hard to find. And a good cover artist? I can't just go on AI and have a cover developed. Now I can do that. I can literally have AI design me a fucking cover. That's crazy. Before, I'd have to mess with Photoshop and try to work something out. Like, I actually took images of a girl, and I would turn her into a silhouette, and then I'd do a bunch of other stuff to kind of just try to make it my own. Oh, yeah, I did some fucking around with Photoshop back in the day. I am not trained in Photoshop. I had to train myself in Photoshop to learn it. But that's just basically some of the things I did. And I was using Adobe White Rabbit at the time. That's pretty old. But anyway, yeah, I was working on the books. And I was still actively dating, like, dating apps were a thing. And there were a couple girls that I had dated of various different ethnicities. I dated a black girl. I dated a white girl. I dated, you know, just... It wasn't just, you know, what I mean. Didn't date an Asian woman, unfortunately. Or Indian or anything like that. But in my area, which is very traditional, you don't find those kind of women very easily because, you know, obviously they're very strict with who they let their daughters date. Anyway, I did some dating and, let's see, what else did I do? Oh, yeah, there was the whole thing where I started my whole blog and started reviewing records, and that's where I kind of started getting into the industry. I think it was about your age where I actually started just, I'll be honest, I was pirating records and reviewing them. And people liked the work so much that record labels started coming to me and saying, hey, we'll just send you the record and you can review it like that. So that's what I did. I started reviewing the records, and I did that for 10 years. I did that till I was about 35. So that's what I spent a lot of my life doing. Pursuing relationships that went nowhere while slowly getting red-pilled. And then, of course, working on the website and working with the magazine and just... continuing to fill my house up with records. Because, of course, they're sending them in the mail. So, that's what was going on. So, yeah, I did that. And, while I was doing that, I was also playing in the metal band. Of course, we made 4 records. And, I'm not upset about any of those records. I think every single record I did, I've enjoyed. Even though I'd say probably that second record, the one that we gave Phil Anselmo from Pantera, I didn't really care for that. Yeah. Years later, I didn't really care for that one. I think if I'd given him the record we wrote after that, and the record we wrote after that one, our 3rd and 4th record, he probably would have liked that a lot better. Of course, there was one song that people loved the most from us. I'm not going to say the name because I don't want people to find out, you know, who I am. But there's one record, one song that people liked the most from us. And I knew it was going to be kind of a hit, but I didn't expect it would be our big song. I never expected that people would just really enjoy it. And they did. And then, of course, after the fourth record, me and the dude that was in the band basically had some disagreements on lyrics. You know, there was an entire song that I spent... I did 17 vocal takes on that. And I'm not talking about 17 vocal takes and different days. I'm talking about one day where I sat a couple hours and just did 17 straight takes. Recording. And, that sucks. Recording. Nope, that's terrible. Recording. I hit that wrong. Recording. Like, all... Like, I don't know how many hours. But I did all that work. And I wanted to get it perfect. And because of the context of the song, he was like, well, I don't know if I really want to use this one. I don't really know if I want to put this on the album. And I love that fucking song because I worked really hard on it. And it was kind of a slap in the face, if you want me to be honest, that song is still not on the record. And our records are on Google Play. They're on, you know, Apple. I think they're on Apple. They're on pretty much everything. So we're on Spotify, all that crap. But, the thing is, that song, like, he thought, because I had made it clear that I had a sex doll, right, that he thought I had some kind of issue with women or something. But basically what I was doing is I was, like, I'm a writer first, so I was writing a fictional story about a character. And this character was based on a news article that may or may not be true. But the news article stated that a mortuary worker had basically taken body parts from different corpses, different cadavers, and was putting together his own kind of build-a-bitch from corpses. Like, this is a story, like a news article. Yeah, this is a news article. So I said, well, that's really kind of morbid, and I also kind of understand, like, this is before incel was a thing. Like, I didn't know that there were people that were, you know, really in this kind of realm. And for me, I hadn't dated in a while. You know, I hadn't dated. It was, you know, I was spending a lot more time probably on the computer than I needed to. And I'm not talking about playing games. I'm talking about doing the writing. I was spending way too much time on something that didn't pay. And because of that, like, yeah, you start to get, Whoa! Holy shit! You guys there?
What happened?
Are you part of the storm that's going through? Because I have to probably jump because mine's gonna...
Yeah! That was lightning! And my surge protector is badass. Everything went off, and now it's back. That gave me a jump. Holy shit. Woo! This is live, folks. That's what God had to say about my song. He's like, you know what? I didn't like that one. That's why that didn't go on the record, Grim. Because I didn't care for that. But, alright, let me explain it seriously. Before we get another, you know, before God decides to bull another strike. So, basically, guys, alright, I was writing a macabre story. I like gothic stories and things like that. And I was thinking about the fact of this guy being so lonely that's the only thing he had. Again, this is before incel. We didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. This was in 2010, so I don't know, like, what the whole incel thing, I can't remember when all that started, but it was 2010, I believe, that we did it, or maybe it wasn't. I can't remember. It might have been 2018. It might have been 2018-19, so maybe I did know about incel, but I wasn't focusing on that. I was just thinking about a young man that worked in a mortuary that was just really upset and wanted to build this perfect woman out of parts and bodies. And I made this epic poem. This is a long song. This was a 10-minute song, or at least I'd say about 8 to 10 minutes long, right? And I'm just writing this, you know, pouring my heart out on this track because I want to get this character, you know. It's all about the character when I'm doing the work, you know. I don't, sometimes there's songs that are personal about me, but this one was just a story, and I had to get that character emotion down. Because I'm one of these really artsy-fartsy guys that gets into character emotion. So, I mean, I've written over 1,000 pages of material where I'm dealing with hard character emotions. You know, angry, sad, depressed, feeling on the verge of suicide, happier than ever, frustrated and ready to, you know, throw your boss into the river. You know, all these kinds of things. So, when I'm writing this song, I'm just like, I've got to get this perfect. And I guess the dude that was, the other guy that was working in the band, he was so worried about what people would think of this song. I'm like, well, dude, it's just a song. And he's like, well, I'm glad you worked through that. And I'm like, that's not what this was about. I'm okay. I'm in a decent place. I'm, you know, obviously I was doing a lot of my old rants and stuff like that, but for the most part, I wasn't upset, you know. So it wasn't me coming out against any particular thing. It was just me trying to put myself in the shoes of this person, this character, and basically tell the tale. And I thought it was great. I thought it was excellent. It had this wonderful, well, it had this build-up section, and then it just went into a crescendo, and it was just amazing, the melody that he used there. And it just was perfect. And you know, at the end of the song, the guy realizes that it's still just what it is, like that it can't actually do anything. You know, he worked to build this person, but it's still dead. So because he has no attachment to it, it doesn't do anything. So he realizes that after all this work and building this perfect, probably hideous-looking thing, it's still nothing. It can't bring him happiness. You gotta understand, the guy was lonely, so he felt he would build this thing out of corpses, which is, you know, diabolical, but that's what happens. I mean, you've actually seen, TFM showed a horrible Russian doll that somebody tried to build. It was like a poor man's sex doll. It looked awful. It was just, that's how some guys get. And that's what I was trying to show there. That there's a lot of people that don't find happiness, or they don't find a partner and all that. But a lot of people don't know how to move on from that. And maybe I was kind of struggling. You know, there's been a few songs I wrote, like Gates of Paradise. Gates of Paradise. Oh, shit. Well, I just said it. That's all right. A lot of people have... There's a lot of people that have done that song. There's a lot of people that have done that song, so I don't think I'm in trouble. But, yeah, Gates of Paradise, that was one of our big songs. And that one was about a guy that was really lonely. But it was a killer fucking song. Like, there were Gojira sections on there where he's just going really technical, and there's some, you know, full death metal shit going on in there. And it was just really good. So I enjoyed it for the most part. Oh, I guess, dude left. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. But basically, I was like, yeah, the, storm's getting closer. Yeah, I'm in the middle of it, mate. Hey. I'm just going to deal. By the way, everybody's in the game room right now, but I want to finish this real quick, and then I guess I'll go in there too. But anyway, let me finish this real quick. God, what the hell is this storm? Anyway, while we've got hell outside, the song that I did, Gates of Paradise, it was about that. It was about a lonely guy, and it was just absolutely killer. I love that fucking song. I think that even the guy that he still does the band. I don't know if he's put it on ice. He does a solo project now, which is kind of mellow and atmospheric stuff. He doesn't do like metal right now. So I don't know what he thinks of that material, but I'm pretty sure, like, as far as I'm concerned, he still likes that fucking song. But yeah, that's pretty much what I gotta say about that. That's what I was doing in my 20s. That's what I was doing around Dan's age. And now that I am 38, I'm just like, well, I don't know if I want to go back into metal, though. I've thought about it, but if I do, it's got to be on my terms. Like, it's got to be with a band that I set up, and it's got to be something that I really want to write about. And it's got to be something more funny, like making fun of shit. I really want to make fun of so much crap that goes on in society. That's what I want to make a band about, if I do another band. But at any rate, I think I'll cut this one, and we can both head on over to where Whip is and see what the guys are doing over there. So I'm gonna be out, and I'll see you later. I'm out.